Welcome to Shrink Wrap, a podcast where Fran and Becky give proper respect to various mental health and wellness topics
while adding in a little bit of smart assery that they just can't seem to contain.
This podcast cannot and does not constitute therapy advice.
However, we do hope that you find the information we share with you helpful and entertaining.
Please be advised that this podcast discusses topics that can be sensitive to some listeners. Use appropriate discretion.
Everybody, welcome. It's recording day.
Yay.
Yeah.
So
we've got some exciting stuff going on. So we're recording this end of December. You'll be listening to this probably in January-ish. And we get all the little Buzzsprout wraps, Spotify wraps, year in, what do they call that?
Year in review.
Thank you. And we're kind of excited. So we wanted to share a little bit of it with you. Shrink Wrap was in the top 25% of all Buzzsprout podcasts.
That's insane. Awesome. Considering we're making so much money doing this, it's like so validating.
So true. 62 countries in just this year alone. In 2023.
62 countries. Uruguay is really, I'm sure, number one on that list.
It should be if it's not. Yeah. Our top episode, Self-Injurious Behavior.
Borderline. Oh, Jesse.
Yeah. Shout out to Jesse. We love him.
We do.
Borderline Personality Disorder. Mm-hmm. Anxiety 2.0, The Next Generation.
Wow.
Improving Your Love Connection. And then just to end it on a high note, let's talk hospice.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
But that was a really good one. It was so informative. And then I got a text yesterday from somebody who, from a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, who just went into private practice in, I want to say Colorado, but don't quote me on that. She said, great fucking work to you and your colleague. I love it so much.
Aww.
I shared with a client today that neurons that fire together wire together, and it was so impactful. Thank you for sharing language and continuing to help those near and far. Aww. I appreciate you. So, Crystal, thank you for that.
Oh, I got chills.
And
thank
good
you.
Luck with the new practice, Crystal. We're happy for you.
Yeah. Yes, amen.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is obviously Aberdeen is our most popular city, right? With 8,600 downloads this year.
Thanks, Aberdeen.
You know, Sioux Falls is next after that with 1,600, but Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes! Omaha. Thanks, Omaha peeps.
Showing up with Omaha. 1,300 now. What the fuck's going on in Groton? Well, okay. They're only at 600.
So. Really? That's everybody in the town is listening. No. Thank you, entire town of Groton.
That is half of Groton. So we got a 50% rate there. I'm good with that. That's good. We'll grow. We're growing.
We're coming for you, Groton. We're going for 750 for 2024.
Let's do it.
No, those were really fun. And Allison had sent out the Spotify one. That was really cool. And I know she's going to do a little ditty with it. But
yeah,
it's just wild.
It's validating. I mean, we work hard. I'm not going to lie.
It is a lot of work. We've talked about it in other areas where neither one of us knew. Brody probably knew, but Brody didn't know us well enough to really shovel shit up our ass. But neither one of us knew how much work was going to go into this. I know I thought we were going to sit down in front of a microphone for like an hour, and then that was it. And it was going to be amazing. And it is so much work.
Yeah.
But we love it.
Mm-hmm. We do.
We're looking forward to 2024.
Yeah.
Greatly.
So
speaking of that,
what are we talking
greatly.
About?
Greatly. All the best episodes.
Stay tuned. We're so loopy today.
We really are.
Yeah. Today.
So, yeah, we are talking about finding your passion and purpose in work. Hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Frantastic Factoid.
The U.S. is in the middle of the Great Resignation, with job dissatisfaction at an all-time high. The U.S. Department of Labor reports the job market continues to offer lots of opportunities and reports high levels of voluntary resignation, with millions of workers leaving their jobs each month.
Millions, I tell you.
Millions.
My goodness. So what's contributing to this mass exodus, you ask? Well, let us help hopefully shed some light on that.
Yeah, why?
Increased employee mobility, wage stagnation. Oh, that's a big one. Despite cost of living increasing, and the desire for more work flexibility and job satisfaction. That seems legit.
Oh, for sure. The great mass exodus. So when I was watching Moses part the Red Sea.
from the set?
from the set.
Yeah.
She was literally there.
Oh, sorry.
He's pretty.
He's like,
she was just slamming herself.
So offended. Like, my mistake.
What? Do we need to draw you a diagram? You're always telling me.
I assumed it was Charleston Heston. My mistake. You were there. All right.
Actual Moses.
Moses.
Yes.
Gosh. All right. I'm disappointing you. Okay. Gallup reported in a State of the Global Workplace 2022 report that along with job dissatisfaction, workers are experiencing really high rates of feeling unhappy and disengaged. 60% reported being emotionally detached at work and 19% as freaking miserable.
I've read through this a few times. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around all of this. Mm-hmm. It's confusing. There's what it is. It's confusing because the COVID era focused on a work-life balance, allowing more remote work, increased time off policies, and shorter work weeks. Yet worker disengagement and unhappiness has actually grown.
And I honestly think that's why a lot of it has grown, because a lot of people then could work from home and they enjoy the flexibility of that. They enjoyed, we didn't enjoy it 24/7, but now it's like they went back after COVID and they were like, hey, we still want to do some of that and work. And a lot of jobs are saying, no, you have to be on site. And so now not so happy.
Yeah. I've known places that literally just said, no, you cannot work remotely at all anymore. And workers were like, well, we did last week. Yeah, that was last week.
Right.
You can't do anything ever again from home. And it's like, whoa.
Right.
Where's the middle ground?
And I think it really makes people that enjoyed it angry because they feel like I was just as productive or more productive at home, or at least given the option of a hybrid because I had greater work-life balance doing that.
Yeah.
So that's because, as Gallup poll finds, it's not just the hours, it's work-life balance or workplace location that leave workers dissatisfied. What really matters is how they experience that work. How are they treated at work?
I think that's so huge. And the number one reported cause of job dissatisfaction is unfair treatment at work, which includes a work culture that lacks respect, community, and contribution acknowledgement. There may be mistreatment by coworkers, inconsistent compensation, and policies that allow for favoritism. And I'm going to say, on the flip side of that, though, I think it's important, if you are experiencing this, what I'm always going to recommend is, if you can, reach out to whoever your supervisor is, because if you feel you're being treated unfairly, but you're not voicing how that unfairness looks, you don't really give them a chance to remedy it. Now, you might do that and they might be like, tough shit. Well, then, get the hell out of there if you can.
Right. And I support that 100% versus bitching around your place of work and complaining, but not really going to the appropriate person who can enact change.
I'm only laughing because, as a person that typically goes to the person I have an issue with, everybody loves that until you go to them, and then they're like,
never mind.
You just shut up.
Right. Yeah, not so much.
Because hard conversations are hard.
Yeah, for sure. But there is an important link between managers and work satisfaction. Better leaders result in more satisfied and engaged employees. So how are you functioning as a manager? That that matters. Brody, how do you function as a manager?
So I'm sitting here thinking about all this, and I just did another podcast, the Growing Small Towns podcast, where I talked about the culture that we've built. And I'm out of gut instinct or gut reaction, I'll say, I don't know what I'm doing. I got lucky. But no, like we treat people like people, right? Mm-hmm. Like even though a lot of my employees are college kids, which aren't technically people yet, you know, but you know, if your schedule is what it is, right? Like, I don't want to know when maybe you can work. I want to know when absolutely you cannot work and when you can work, because I'm not going to schedule you when you can't work. And I think we hear stories about this all the time. Like, well, I scheduled you, and if you can't cover it or be here, then I
find somebody who can.
Yeah. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Like a leave request is just a threat that I'm not going to show up because we all have lives. That's something we've done since day one. So far, it has not kicked me in the ass, but we'll see. So I don't know. We're really small. I mean, we have 10 employees. I'm in there in the grunt with them. And so I think
but
that
that's you as a manager. Absolutely. They respect you because you know what work they're doing. Right. So many times I hear from workers, my boss has no idea what I do.
Yeah. Right.
They couldn't even define all of my responsibilities. And there's a lack of respect with that. Whereas you are doing it side by side. I think that
you're
matters.
Walking the walk.
Side by side. And I'm giving them, there are things that I don't know about, but I'm giving them ownership over and they're mm-hmm. taking ownership over it. I'm saying, I had this idea or I've heard that we've talked about this idea. Mm-hmm. Would you want to spearhead this and take this on?
Right.
And they're like, yeah, you bet. And that amount of ownership, I mean, you can't buy that.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
it's great. And then they're invested and they go with it and they're doing things that I couldn't do. Right.
Right.
It's
mm-hmm.
understanding where your strengths and weaknesses are. And,
yeah,
the things that they're doing are phenomenal. So it's a fine line, but I think at the end of the day, it's treating people like people. Like mm-hmm. we're all just, we want to have fun at work. And I hear these stats and I think of like, I don't know, some giant
office space.
Yeah. Giant warehouse full of cubicles.
Yeah.
And like,
get your TPS report
your TPS
cover sheet.
Reports, yeah. yeah. You know, Bob, yeah. I have seven different bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that does, and me, we must still be in that place, but
for some people, yeah.
I don't know. None of my job could be done from home. So
I want to give a shout out to my boss, Sean. He, you know, he said when I interviewed, like, he's not afraid of tough conversations. Mm-hmm. And this fall, he and I had to have a really tough conversation. And I said, okay, here we go. This mm-hmm. is what you said. And it was a really tough conversation. We had a difference of opinion on a couple of things. And it was nice to be able to give him my feedback on it. And he gave me his feedback on it. And then we went forward. Mm-hmm. And it was like, whoa,
yeah.
okay. And so he really has worked hard at fostering a culture where he's approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one that when it's time to do late night breakfast for the students during finals week, he's down there slinging eggs because mm-hmm. he doesn't ask us to do. So I think that's huge.
Yeah.
We look at that and it's a good example. Like, okay, if the dean is down there making scrambled eggs, then maybe the directors can be helping out or whatever it might be.
Well, and mm-hmm. it's good that you took him up on it too and called him out on his word. Cause like I've never yelled at an employee.
Yeah.
I've never raised my voice. We've all had a good time.
Yes.
I've fired some people, but not publicly.
Yeah.
And yet I get the, I was scared to tell you. And I understand that they're college kids. Some of them are high school kids. Like mm-hmm. I understand that, but like, I work really hard to be super approachable and like, I'm not going to yell it. I've never yelled at anybody before, but you still find out through the grapevine because they didn't want to come to you directly. So I think it's good that A, that he said it, and B, that you took him up on his word and you had the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, because nothing changes if, in my opinion, if you don't go to the source of it, then nothing changes.
Right.
And so, yeah, it does go both ways though. The role of the manager is really important in well-being, according to Jim Harder, chief scientist of workplace management and well-being at Gallup. He says their first job is to make sure that work-related things are right. People know what their role is. They get recognized when they do good work. They feel cared about at work. They have a good chance to develop in the future. They can see where they're headed in the organization. And if you get those sorts of things right, you start building trust. And that's huge.
Yeah.
Because when you have trust, you can open the door for having broader conversations around well-being.
Right. So what are some ways to find your career purpose? If you're out there and you're not sure, am I doing the right thing?
Tarot card reading.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Flipping a coin. The magic eight ball, for sure.
The magic eight ball, for sure.
Reading the tea leaves.
Right. So number one, what are your values, people? And be honest with yourself. Is it important for you to travel? Is it important for you to have nice things? Do you want a nice house? Where do you want to live? Do you want a family or be able to pay for your kids' education without struggling? Do you want a flexible position so you can cut back to part-time when your kids are in, you know, in activities? Be honest and don't judge that. Like, if you like nice shit and you grew mm-hmm. up with nice shit, then okay.
Mm-hmm. Or you didn't grow up with nice shit and you wanted it.
Right. Be honest.
Go after it.
Yeah.
Are you the type of person who's super efficient and likes to be in control? You may be better suited to your own business. And maybe that's a possibility. Like, why can't Brody tell us? Why can't you just own your own business? No, don't. Wait, never mind. Brody, don't tell
us.
Hang
on, though. It is a double-edged sword because I was talking with a friend who's also owns his own thing. And we were like, do you ever think about like just cutting bait and going to be an employee?
Right.
He's like, yeah, I do. but it would end in ash. Like, it'd be so terrible.
Yeah.
I would just be such a terrible employee. And I think back to the last time I got fired and what a terrible, you know, mouthy, you know, headstrong employee I was. So yeah, I'm just going to go over here and do my own thing for better or worse.
Yeah. So you have to honestly ask yourself with my personality, what's most suited? What kinds of jobs, careers match those values?
Yes.
It's really important to have alignment between your values and also something that allows you to achieve personal fulfillment. That's more important to people today. Not just I want to crank out this paycheck. For some, that's all it is. But and for sometimes a lot,
you can
it's
find
different.
Both.
Yes.
And why not? If you can do it, go for it.
Amen. Hey, Becky, why is the Northern State University graduate program in counseling so awesome?
I could go on forever, but let's talk about the fact that you can get a clinical degree where you can work in private practice or an agency, where you can get a school counseling degree on the school track where you can work in a school as private school, parochial school, public school, any school you want to. And then my favorite.
What?
Forensic counseling.
Super cool. Yes. But is it KCREP approved?
It is KCREP approved. And you're like, what does that mean? You know what? It means that it has the gold standard of grad schools.
Super awesome. But can I afford it? Because I don't have a lot of money.
It's okay. If you go to northern.edu, you can apply for some scholarships. They have a couple of counseling specific scholarships in addition to some other really fantastic scholarships that a guidance counselor or a admissions counselor can help you with.
Awesome. Be Northern, unleash your potential, baby.
Oh. Go talk to and shadow someone in a career that you're interested in. Ask them if you can ask some questions. What do you love about your career? What do you wish were different? Are you passionate about what you do? And you guys, this can take place at any age. Where it often can't take place is if you want to see what counseling's like. Yeah. Over the years, we've had so many people reach out to us. They're like, can we shadow? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
confidentiality.
Yeah, HIPAA's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So for some people, they recognize like they're not completely fulfilled. They like their job, but they don't love their job. So you have to ask yourself, can I still be happy and fulfill my passion outside of my career? So for example, like let's say you're doing accounting, but you really wish that you would be doing something more that you feel makes a difference. Be a mentor to, let's say, a young woman who is really interested in numbers. Like, go for that.
Yeah, what a weirdo.
I know. God, I don't know any people like that.
No, I'm definitely not married to one or best friends with one.
God, no. Do you have the need to do something meaningful? Finding a career that also, like you said, provides purpose to your life is a priority for many people.
Do you want a job that helps or benefits others and or makes a positive impact on the planet or your community? Those are things you can do. Do you recognize the importance in your work? And I even think about like, we make fun of accountants. I make fun of accountants all the time. Can you imagine a world where we didn't have them?
Oh my God.
For real. I mean, they know shit that I have no desire to learn.
No.
I want nothing to do with it.
No.
And I'm so grateful that there are people out there that want to know that.
And that is meaningful because it makes people's lives easier. Like I don't have to do that shit myself and then like think about killing people because I can't do, you know, they make my life easier.
Sanitation workers.
Yeah.
Yay. Can you imagine if we didn't have sanitation workers?
Exactly. Exactly. So figure out what are you passionate about? And so I went online and there's this passion profile quiz and it's on clarityonfire.com.
And it's super easy.
Super easy, right? And so my profile, which I think is funny, it's called the Side Hustler Profile.
I laughed when I saw that.
I know. And I'm not going to go into detail about it, but basically what it's going to cover.
So no one steals your side hustle.
Right. I don't want it. That's a good one. Yeah. It talks about like, what are my natural attributes and strengths as a side hustler?
So what does it say?
That I am multi-passionate.
I want to see, what's the title of yours? Oh, the basics of being, because mine is what it feels like to be a collaborator. So it looks like they might tailor it a little bit to whatever you came up with.
Right.
Okay. So what is yours?
Okay. So multi-passionate, highly motivated, self-starter, big picture thinker, craves constant learning, rapid idea generator, natural leader, great connector and collaborator, deep desire to create, sees challenges as opportunities, visionary, seeks growth and momentum.
That doesn't sound like you at
all.
I know. I thought that was like nailed it, man.
So those are your natural attributes?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a collaborator.
Okay. Read Rogers.
Excellent at contributing to or creating a cohesive team, great connector, desire to manage or motivate a team, trustworthy and reliable, idea generator and big picture thinker. Maybe we should do a podcast.
Yeah, we should.
Patient, tolerant, and generous. The patient might be a stretch. Loyal and engaged employee or team member, constantly seeking growth and forward momentum, naturally build strong relationships, others seek your advice and mentorship, strong desire to make a difference and help others in a meaningful way, and likable and friendly. That one, one might be a stretch too.
But I mean, that was, so
what are your drawbacks?
Oh, I don't want to go through all these, but I do have to say two that really hit it.
Yeah.
I know you guys are going to be shocked. Perfectionistic.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Overachiever.
Yes.
Often impatient. This is why I text people 42 times at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
How about, okay, three highlights of yours.
Three highlights of mine. Prone to people pleasing. Nah, I'm taking that one off. I'm not really prone to people pleasing. Disenchanted when I don't feel a strong connection to the mission, definitely. The biggest one, tendency to overwork and get burnt out, whatever.
Yeah.
And struggle to care about work when there's no clear, tangible result or benefit to others. I want to know what the end goal is. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was, I highly recommend doing
it's
this
fun.
Because it's fun, but it's insightful.
Yes.
It tells you like about like time, money, your passion. You'll be happiest in a career that allows you to blah, blah, blah. And so if you're a therapist, you might want to use this with
yes.
somebody, and then it's great for discussion and digging deeper.
Yes.
I loved it.
Tell the listeners again where they can find that.
Okay. So it is clarityonfire.com, and it's the passion profile quiz.
Now, do you two believe in the axiom, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life?
Yes.
Really?
I totally do.
No, you do.
Yes,
that.
I fucking do.
Yes, to a degree. If you love what you do, it doesn't always feel like work, but I think you will work a day in your life. No matter what you do and no matter how much you love it, there are going to be days. I call them the days where I just want to get a red shirt and go work the checkout at Target, you know, and just scan. I'm not saying that's not a draining job, mm-hmm. but mentally it's a little bit different, I think, sometimes, or whatever. I don't know. I think we all have those days mm-hmm. where another field looks better, whatever that other field is. You never have those days.
It depends on the role that I play. Mm-hmm. You know, as a partner, absolutely. I don't like administrative stuff. Yeah. I don't like being a micromanager. I don't like overseeing. As a clinician,
yes,
absolutely not. I love what I do. I'm very, very blessed.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. So what does the quiz tell us, Becky?
Oh, I had to, I'm like, where are we?
Yeah.
The quiz tells
papers
us
how, flying everywhere.
Woo, how to best tie what you do for a living to something you're passionate about so that no matter what, your career and life feel fulfilling, energizing, and inspiring to you. So there are career assessments. Yes, there are. And interest inventories, which can identify your top traits and connect those to career options. So if you are a student listening to us, most campuses have career services and you can go and they can help you explore those things and whatever. If you are not in school, the Department of Labor and Regulation in most states has ways to identify career interest, any local training opportunities, how to do job leads, stuff like that. So you can just search for your state and then Department of Labor and Regulation, and they can help you with some of that.
Mm-hmm. Keep a journal of what you love to do and what excites you. Ask people who really know you what they think you're good at and what they see as your talent and passion. Also, you can talk with a mm-hmm. career counselor. One thing on your new iPhone that just got updated before the next update, they added a journal app to your phone. And it's kind of cool. Like you push on it and it will say like, give you some prompt questions, but you can also just journal in the journal app. So that would be a good place to do it too.
Oh, I must not have updated. I don't have that.
Yeah. I think she's full of
shit.
Oh,
wait. Write in your journal on your iPhone. Topic summary coming soon.
Yeah. See?
Well, it says coming soon, though.
No, but I have the journal thing. See, look. Journal. Boom.
What's it look like?
Look, the old fart in the room has the latest app.
I don't even see it.
It's right here.
Well, did you just
okay.
Sorry.
Gotcha.
Did you just download an app?
No. It does it when the update happens. It magically appears.
Okay,
like,
friend, okay.
Like marshmallows and Lucky Charms. Same principle.
I just might not have that update yet.
Okay.
Look for a career that combines passion and purpose. Something that doesn't feel like work is ideal. Can you see yourself investing a lot of time in this job or profession? Will it hold your attention and passion? I look at what some people do and I'm just amazed. Mm-hmm. You know, like to me, it would be like nails on a chalkboard. But I've also had people say to them, that's being a therapist. Like they can't imagine right. doing what we do. And to me, it's just like, I love it. Right. So yeah.
Yeah. Does the idea of being a certain profession match your actual talents and skill set? Like you may want to be an interior designer, but your house looks like
nobody's hiring
Beverly Hillbillies. So, yeah.
I don't want to make toys. I want to be a dentist.
Exactly.
I am not allowed to pick out paint colors in our house because I do such a shitty job. I'm terrible. Oh, it's awful. Money does matter for some, and that's okay. You got to pay bills, man. You may love the job, but if it causes financial stress, it may not be worth it. Salary, benefits, and upward mobility are important factors. It is a myth, though, to think that you can't love what you do and get paid well. Now, this is what I have heard from some young people. I kid you, I'm not even making this up. Mm-hmm. Becky, what's a career I can go into that when I get my bachelor's degree, I can make anywhere from $200,000 to $5,000 or $500,000 a year?
Wow. What is that?
Yeah. I always tell them, if you find it, could you let me know if they're hiring?
Right. No kidding.
I would love that.
Sign me up.
So we talk about, well, attorneys can make that, but it does require more than a bachelor's
degree.
Yep. Yep. Doctors. Mm-hmm. But now we're talking, you know, 9 to 11 years post bachelor's degree. And then it's like, oh, I don't really want to do that. That seems like a lot of schooling.
Professional criminals, but that doesn't involve a bachelor degree.
You might get some time off, some mandated time off as a professional criminal.
There you go. Yeah, but I think it's funny because if you ask those people, like, okay, what does your mom do? How much does she make a year? Mm-hmm. And the same thing with the dad. A lot of times they have no idea.
No, money is just, some weird concept.
Right.
I agree.
So if you're a parent, I really highly recommend you tell your kids, this is how many years of education I did or did not get. This is what I do for a living. This is my salary. Look around the house. Look at what we have. Look at our cars. Look at our vacations. Do you get what I'm saying? This is how it works in our home.
Or I like to say, because in South Dakota, all the state employees are, you're able to look up what their salaries are. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say, well, what do you think I make? And it's always fun to hear what they think. Yeah. And then I tell them what I actually make and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's really, I'm in the middle of the salary range for what I do.
Right.
I'm not underpaid. I'm not overpaid. But just that idea of, oh, you must make, you know, $300,000 a year.
Yeah. Let's try again.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yeah. Certainly don't start a business then.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to know what I make.
Oh.
Is it important that your career helps other people or makes other people's lives easier? For example, and think about this more broadly.
Yeah.
Insurance agents might consider their work as helping people because you're helping them protect their property and you're providing them with security. I never thought about it like that.
And again, you know, if something goes haywire, it's nice to be able to call somebody and say, what do I do? And then they can walk you through that process.
Like when a giant tree over the 4th of July crushed our pontoon.
Yeah.
My nephews were right next door and walked out there. Our insurance agents. They are insurance agents. Erickson Insurance and Associates, by the way. But anyway, they helped us.
They do. Or this summer when a truck pulling a trailer just scraped up the side of my car and said, oh no, it wasn't me.
Oh.
It was nice to have insurance companies to be like, oh no, it was you.
Yeah.
And here's how we know it was.
Exactly.
And then they took care of everything. So thank you, insurance agents.
Yeah.
It is important for you to be a part of a team and a supportive work culture. For me, it is. Maybe like a family work culture. Does the place you work also value ways that they can contribute to society? Are they supportive of diversity inclusion? And I think I would have a hard time working anywhere that wasn't supportive of diversity inclusion.
Right.
I think that would just, I don't know, that would be a deal breaker for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What about you, Brody?
No, I prefer.
Do you prefer
just homogenous workplaces?
Yeah.
Well, you do live in South Dakota, so you're in the red state. So, okay. Find ways that your career can serve in the community and enhance meaning and purpose in your life. You know, new novel ways that you might not think of. Like maybe if you're not going to do something individually, like supporting a table at like Safe Harbor's gala or something like that, you can use your skills and experience also by being a mentor or teaching elderly people like Fran to use technology. That would be greatly appreciated. No judgment.
Can we get paid for that?
Yeah.
Plus hazard pay because she'll punch you at some point.
I just send her videos. That way she can't hit me.
With like, and she color codes the videos, like highlights it like idiot here. It's so helpful, but it is helpful.
I don't say idiot. No, I'm just trying to make it easy. I mean, in my head I do, but
yeah, I know.
Let go of others' expectations and life plans for you. Just do what you think is going to bring you happiness.
Right. So what are some movies about finding meaning and purpose? 1812 movies, Into the Wild. Do you remember that movie?
No.
That is a movie about finding meaning and purpose.
Is that the one about Jack, the dog?
No, it's where the kid hitchhikes across the country and dies in a bus in Alaska.
Hey, wait a minute. Isn't that? Yeah. Okay. Maybe I was thinking about the one. Oh, God. Now I got to think
Shining.
Of a Pretty Little Liars. Okay, wait. Who is the chick in Pretty Little Liars?
There's a lot of them.
Reese Witherspoon. Okay. What about, didn't she go on some damn walk for a long place and that was finding herself? Remember that movie?
Legally Blonde.
No, Jody. Oh, Brody. No. Okay.
The Morning Show.
Eat, Pray, Love.
I never did see that.
I love it. Don't barf in your mouth. I like that
movie. You can barf in your mouth a little bit.
No.
I couldn't think of any other movies about finding meaning, but I don't watch a lot of movies.
Wild.
So. Wild. Okay, so not Into the Wild.
I swear
Wild.
Into the Wild was the one about the dog or something, wasn't it?
No.
No, I know what you're talking about.
Into the Wild is the one about the guy who died in a bus because he ate the wrong kind of mushrooms.
Yes, and that was really tragic and sad.
It is a little bit, but also...
If you're going to be foraging.
If you're going to be foraging, read the book before you go out, and why the hell are you out there in the first place?
Yeah, well, maybe he was having a mental health crisis, Brody. Don't be so judgy.
Sure, then don't eat mushrooms or eat the right kind of mushrooms. I'm sorry, I don't have sympathy for
there's,
you.
Really there's don't. Books for that.
This is why you
and
are not a
speaking of, here's some other books.
Okay, what?
The Quarter Life Breakthrough, Invent Your Own Path, Find Meaningful Work, and Build a Life That Matters by Adam, kid you not, Smiley, Pozwolski.
What's wrong with that?
That's ridiculous.
Why?
You on Purpose, Discover Your Calling and Create the Life You Were Meant to Live by Dr. Stephanie Shackelford and Bill Denzel. I came up with a couple of other ones, some of the ones that I like. Mm-hmm. The Untethered Soul by Michael S. Singer is a really good one, and there's actually a workbook that goes with it, so that's kind of a fun one to find your purpose. And then if you're unhappy or happy in your workplace, I really recommend Dare to Lead by Brené Brown because it is about having hard, you know, walks you through how to have hard conversations and be respectful and be open to criticism and those sorts of things. So those are just two more that I thought would be really kind of cool.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
Source, Leah Collins on CNBC.
We are the Shrinks.
And that's a wrap.
Boy, that was